Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now here's a scenario you'll probably recognise. You're out with a friend enjoying a catch-up when their phone suddenly pings. They start reading a message from a WhatsApp group and become completely absorbed in the online conversation, and they've gone, they've checked out, abandoned your shared experience for the private one offered by their phone. Now such a scenario is now so common that smartphone users have, according to a new book, become human snails, carrying our homes in our pockets with a tendency to ignore friends and family in favour of our phones. The global smartphone, Beyond a Youth Technology, is the most in-depth study yet of adult smartphone use and was led by Daniel Miller, Professor of Anthropology at University College London. And he joins me now. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. Thank you for joining us. I'm a little bit frightened of this human snails analogy. Will you explain to us why you've come up with that? And are we really as bad as all that?
Well, I think the point was that you start off with this thing called a smartphone, and we're using it, you know, hundreds of times a day. It's so important in everyday life. And clearly, we need to understand what it is and how it affects us. Now, one problem is just that it's called a phone. And yet, if you think about it, phoning is one of the least things that we do with it. Mm-hmm. So we needed a different perspective. And we realized after a while that maybe it's actually better to think of it as a place within which we live, an analogy with the home. I mean, you can think of it as divided into rooms. You know, there's the place where you're watching football, the place where you're organizing your life, another place for shopping, another place for conversing with people. It may be the main address, you know, where people really want to know, are you there? Because they can get you. People tidy it and talk about tidying it as though it was like a home. Remember one of our informants actually in Africa saying, you know, I'm never going to allow that person in my home again. And he meant his phone. So we feel that's just a better starting point, really. But whether it's necessarily a negative thing is more complicated, because, you know, you just gave that example of the fact that somebody should be with you in the restaurant and actually they're gone. They're gone, as it were, home. And so we tend to think, oh, that means the phone is a very anti-social thing. You know, it's screens instead of people, or it's phones instead of people. But actually, what are they doing on their smartphone? Chances are they're actually conversing with somebody else, or texting with somebody else, or, as you said, on their WhatsApp group. So it's not necessarily antisocial. It's really choosing a different group to be sociable with.
It's just rude.
And that makes the whole thing a bit more complicated.
It's just rude, Daniel, isn't it, if you're sitting with somebody else?
It is rude. And clearly one of the things is we're going to have to come up with new kind of rules of etiquette, I think. But that often happens with new innovations. You know, first they just disrupt, and then after a short time we decide, well, that's fair enough, but that really is still rude.
I thought it was interesting that some of the older adults, and I don't know what age you classify as being old, but they seem to be more interested in their phones or less willing to set them aside than the younger generations.
I don't think I'd say that exactly, but I think that the big expansion of phone use is certainly with older people. And there are grounds for thinking it may be a lot more important for them than we realised. We have two studies in Ireland, and we dealt with people, could be from 45. We wanted people who didn't consider themselves either young or old, but, you know, that could include actually people in their 80s. What we found was that first, there's a lot of difficulty. People may struggle to use the phones. The young people are actually not very good at helping to explain things. They get impatient. But once people have mastered this thing, sure, they take to it for all sorts of purposes. And because it was already associated with youth, it was a youth technology, I think it actually makes them feel younger again, if you like, because now, you know, they can go back to dating. They can listen to the rock albums of the 1970s in their 70s. There are all sorts of possible connections that I think older people are really forging. And as they get older still and they face problems of immobility, they may be anxious about going out at night, well, then, of course, having this phone, this connection, becomes even more important as you get older.
So did you find that women and men, the findings were different in relation to the genders?
Well, I think to the degree that that's true, it will reflect traditions of difference. So one of the things in studying a phone is it's wrong just to think of it as one person and their phone, because you might be talking to a woman and she says, no, I don't do my banking on the phone, but that's because her husband is doing it. And I suppose for older people in Ireland, there were traditions whereby women tended to do more of the social connecting, responsible for sort of keeping in touch with the family and friends, and men tended to do some of the more kind of functional things. But that's obviously changing. It's obviously much less true of younger people in Ireland today. And if anything, the phone tends at first to reflect those traditions, but then it's part of the change of becoming a different set of alignments between men and women, and I think a greater equality and equivalence, really.
And Daniel, the smartphone means that we never catch a break. We never stop, well, many of us never stop looking at work-related topics on our phone. You can get your email at any time of the day or night. If you're a child in school and you're being bullied, you can't go home and seek refuge there because they come with you through your device.
Yes, I mean, the term we use for this is perpetual opportunism, because, you know, it's always there. You see something you want to take a photo of, you can take it then and there. You've taken it, you want to share it with somebody, you can do it then and there. There's always the opportunity to use the phone. And as you've implied, this can have negative and it can have positive effects. I mean, you mentioned young people, and sure, if they used to be bullied in the playground, now they can be kind of bullied 24/7. On the other hand, when they were bullied in the playground, you had no evidence. Now, if it's through a smartphone, you may be able to show it to your teachers and your parents. So it kind of comes with both. And I think that's true of a good deal of this usage, that you can see, you know, you can see both the positive and the negative.
So you looked at 9 countries and their smartphone usage in those countries. Was there any particular standout? And as you said, Ireland was one of them. Was there any country that differed to the others?
I think these all vary from one to another. You can't really compare, you know, a low-income area in the middle of Kampala, Uganda, with China, with Ireland. But there are interesting differences. I mean, you take it again from the Irish perspective. We're working with older people, working mainly with people in retirement. And what Pauline Garvey, the other researcher, and myself found was that as people get into retirement, they're finding new uses for the phone, which are around kind of crafting their lives. They've got more time, they get into a lot of activities, and it becomes a very useful implement. But what I noticed, I mean, I might be at something like the men's shed for several months or somewhere else where I was working. And I realised that people seem on retirement in Ireland to sort of almost start anew. I often didn't actually know what work these people had originally done, or whether they'd be managers or manual labourers or what. Now, if you compare that to, say, Sao Paulo, our Brazilian site, also working with retired people, but an absolute obsession with keeping the links that you had and the status that you had and the identity that you had from your working life. And the phone is used essentially as a means for that continuity. Mm-hmm. So you've got people in retirement in two different countries, but exactly the opposite way of thinking about the possibilities of retirement and then the possibilities of using smartphone in retirement.
Daniel, I have a message here from Steve, who's listening to you, and he says phones are like smoking used to be. Everyone reaches for their phone in every free moment. Before, it was cigarettes. So where do you stand on smartphone addiction? Is it a cause for concern?
I think it's probably not the most helpful term. And the reason for that is I don't think people are necessarily addicted to the phone. It's the content. You know, one person is addicted to listening to, I remember people were listening to Trump and Brexit at that time, just all day. Another person is gambling, which is a very serious form of addiction that can be facilitated by smartphones. We already mentioned the people who are addicted to knowing what some horrible other schoolgirl, whatever it is saying about them. Mm-hmm. And what I'd say is this. smartphone can facilitate addiction, but if we're going to understand it and if we're going to try and help people, then I think we need to drill down to the level of the content, because those are completely different things. And calling it smartphone addiction doesn't actually necessarily help us in dealing with things like gambling, which has to be understood in its own right. Okay. So it facilitates so many different things. But as I say, the other point about the addiction is it ignores what is usually the other side, which is that it's used for these social connections. It's used in relation to loneliness. It's changed the nature of the family in Ireland, which I'm happy to talk about. And these are not necessarily negative. So I think we have a tendency, any new technology makes us anxious.
Right.
And we have a tendency, and there are clearly problematic things going on with the rise of the smartphone that we're going to have to deal with. But I think we have to keep this in balance.
All right, Daniel, thank you so much for talking to us. That's Professor Daniel Miller. The book is called The Global Smartphone: Beyond a Youth Technology. It's published by UCL Press. And if you want to have a read of that, it is available to download free at uclpress.co.uk. Next up, we're going to take a look back at the best of the weekend sport. Damien Lawler will be here along with Cliona Foley.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.